Hello, this is Daryl War for December 2019, and I, again, was going to try and get to the episode 15 retrospective, but I thought, some people are kind of just hanging on and looking around, and, alright, so we'll just do another blotty blah, because, like I said, one pen friend was going to get to episode 15, I thought, well, alright, then that's a good reason to put the retrospective off. Because I really wasn't sure how to begin or end it. Most of us just don't crack up with episode 15. I hope she really enjoys it and lets me know. Because when people let me know, then I know. And I know what's going on. And that's why we went back to Pen Pals with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Please observe the date. It is 2019 December. I am releasing this. And I'm going to try and focus this being more for pen friends and admirers that I actually do hear from, people that, you know, still have enough brain activity and personal free will to be able to do that. Because, as you know, a lot of these new technological tricks and gadgets and programs and applications, they're just out to get your attention and therefore money from either their backers or whatever it is. That's why donations are important, and I do try to donate to archive.org every year. Do my best on that. Looking into some other places to do some donations, because it should be a PBS thing. For me, the best donations is reviews, discussion, commentary for the radio drama. That's the best. But it's very important in your letters to just let me know, I tuned into X, Y, and Z, or I tuned into December 2019, or, you know. And there's a wide variety of pen pals that are included now. And it's really helpful when you let me know that you tuned in. It really helps enormously, because there's just been too much assumption of, oh, this person, you know, in my head will know. Like, one of my buddies from a couple years ago, really just like, it's good for December now, just because we felt almost every time we heard from each other, this is a holiday. I am getting all of this excitement from just another human being. And I got something from her while she was on a trip, and it was a place that I knew, and, you know, I remembered a little bit from my youth, and she was just letting me know in a little thing. I have a longer email and another letter from her, but I got it, and I just smiled and sighed, and she was on this trip, and, well, you better respond just a little bit, just to say I sighed and smiled very happily, and then I realized you couldn't see that, so I'm letting you know. Thank you. It was good to get your little message of where you were and what was going on, and that the trip was a safe one, and things had changed on a certain highway we both knew, and more maintenance, that kind of thing. But a few of the pen pals have gotten a little skippy, if you know what I mean. I've been skipping the radio drama topic in the letters, and don't think it's just one person when I say this. It's multiple people starting to do this. And the reason I mention it is just to remind everyone, yes, I know you want the company, and I know you want the companionship, but you also know what I've been through in the trust arena online. And it wasn't pretty, and it still isn't that good looking. So, when the topic gets skipped once in a letter, that's fine. But when the topic of the fictional work I'm doing gets skipped twice, my trust level drops steeply. It drops. So, that is word to the wise. I'm only one person, and I want to be there for you, but the pretending the radio drama or marriage novel doesn't exist isn't good. It means I'm going to spend more time on the people who address the topics and don't skip them. So, I don't want to make anyone feel bad. I'm mainly just letting you know. Now, for the pals and listeners not doing that, we have some goodies. I did get word from one fellow that she kind of considered herself a closet fan just from listening to the extras, and I thought, oh, well, that wasn't what I meant in October about the closet listener thing, and there's plenty of those. But it is great to know you're listening to the extras and how you do. That helps a lot. It sounded like she flipped them on just for kind of background company, and that totally works. We do that around here when Jonah and Clover and Seamus come over. Sometimes it's just everyone reading comics or moments of doing their own thing. It's just the need to be together, you know. I'm good for the holidays, too, here. That theme of just everyone being together. And most of the time, we are interacting, but there are times we aren't. So I understand listening to my extras just to have some company, definitely. Now, pals who are awaiting episode 21 in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, which I do believe is going to be called Up the Damn Staircase, but I'm not sure. Those pen pals who have surpassed enough to have the newer nitty-gritty and fun on more private channels. Yes, they've gotten episode 20. So they remind me eagerly, and I love that, in their letters. It's like, yeah, I'm looking forward to 21. And I'm like, I'm going to try, better try, you know, just trying to just get everything settled here and digest all the crazy. And it's not that many pen pals, but it's good. Also noticing folks listening to the podcast from March 2017, the green one, which, of course, I did in the theme of, you know, the St. Patrick's Day thing. That's why the border was green. But that's great. It gives a nice, calmer feel as I was diving back into the letter-writing world full force, and also gives a lot of great long-term spoilers for the characters and how that works. And, yeah, so I am watching Dark Shadows and trying to trim what there is, because there's just so much of it. And where the other shows come into place, I think I'm going to have to go through a binge watch of The Addams Family again, because in what I'm creating for 22, it's like, well, we got to put something else in there. I don't want to just be Dark Shadows, Dark Shadows, Wadsworth, Dark Shadows, Dark Shadows. Because like, there are episodes where that's, you know, it just feels like that's all there is. Dark Shadows, Wadsworth. Dark Shadows characters and Wadsworth sprinkled in there here and there. It's like, no, we need more. We need, you know, the ones that we've incorporated, that we've invited. And we don't need extras. I'm still working on trying to reach the point to bring in Oisin's suggestion of Randall and Hopkirk deceased, the old one from the 60s, so that it all blends together in those, everybody from the late 60s, in the more or less spooky realm. And she was good with that, because so many people back in those really confusing social media addiction years for me, were just throw this and throw that and throw this and throw that. I've got so much on my plate. Can you please just tell me what you liked? And they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't know how to do that because the system garbled their head so much. But thankfully, Oisin, she was up. I was like, hey, but what's the purpose for Randall and Hopkirk to cease? I know you're really excited throwing the stuff at me. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to have to think about that. And I know in the New Year's show where I shared more of her visit, we were talking about like, oh, well, maybe Roger could get involved in that. But I said that at the time. And I'm thinking, no, it's just be Liz and Lily and the ghost of Bill Malloy, maybe. And I think it is heading in that direction for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Now, for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, kind of study buddy spoiler cast, what have you. So I am going to look at my WordPress log entry, just pitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com, not the pitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com that I'm always trying to steer you to, so tell me about what you enjoy. But the one without the THE in the URL is my pit notes, because I was trying to focus on 640 to 700. And I'm hoping, because I see so much material. What I have currently as a title for episode 22 in the pit is The Endless Night at Collinwood. Because I noticed Milligan about to make a joke about it, and I'm like, yeah, we definitely need that. Because going through 640 to 642 in Dark Shadows, it was like, people are going to bed like four times, never get to sleep. You know, Amy's getting up and up and up and up. And I was like, and going back to bed. And, you know, like in the original, they go to bed the first time, Amy and David. And then they get up and do whatever West Wing stuff. And I'm like, at least I think, you know, I might be mixing it up with how I've arranged it in the pit. But in the original Dark Shadows, Liz comes and puts them back to bed. And then later on, doing the seance, Vicky puts them back to bed. I think they get up again. There was something in there, I think, where Amy went to Victoria's room, which once upon a time had been Josette's, and then later it's Maggie's. And it's just, you know, at the Great House. But just so, just going back to, I mean, they go to bed like four times before anybody gets any sleep. So that's why I was thinking it should be the endless night at Collinwood. But my concern is that so much of this stuff takes so long, and I don't want to do everything verbatim. I know that 18 was really good for that, and Oisin had talked about, you know, yeah, it felt, there was a lot of scenes here that just felt like the real thing. And I apologize if anybody got an earache from Amy, just because she is shrill. Rest in peace, Denise Nickerson. But as Amy, she could be very shrill. I can't even remember if Carolyn got that shrill. Just, you know, high-pitched voice, screaming and crying, and you gotta do what you do. I mean, I'm not sure how to make that less aggravating, but to authenticity. Anyway, so with 640, I was mostly in this log entry for episodes of Dark Shadow 640 to 700, trying to focus on the things that I need to worry about. Because this all comes from the catalog. If you either have the box set or some of the KLS books with the episode lists, I mean, they're extremely limited. So 640, try to get to 644, and then just so much stuff goes on. And we're not going to get Madame Finley into the picture till 647, so I just kind of go through, because there's just so many steps of how the cast go through the turn of the screw storyline, while the werewolf storyline is in tandem with that. And what I am hoping is, as I crunch down stuff to condense and solve it, it is going to go faster. Because we know that, you know, you could spill some water on the floor or spill a soda, and then people in the room just go, ah, you know, and, but my method when I would see that is go grab a towel. It just go, and the faster you do that and get everything cleaned up and spray it with whatever cleanser, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the faster, it's not going to just be the horrendous, oh my gosh, I can't believe this spill, da, 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 ruined the whole house. You need the ShamWow. Just, if you're solving problems, you save a lot of time. So I'm hoping that these issues are going to get crunched with the Beth and Quentin stuff bit by bit, because we do have more characters from both Dark Shadows and good characters from other shows and whatever, or DS characters. They're not on the side of evil or deception anymore. They're on the side of let's solve the problem. So hopefully that'll condense things as they're getting solved. I really hope so, because it's already been a long way to get to 1897. But the other problem that I know... good friends, you know, they want more Barnabas, even if it's just me doing it. And that's difficult, because a lot of this is more focused on the Jennings. But what I like, what's coming up, we've got more Julia Elliot, and there's definitely more romance coming for them. Again, it is more scholastic, it is more subdued, it's not all over the place, but there was this growth that I'm seeing show up in the reincarnation facet, where Dr. Hoffman is going to have to deal with that in the pit, and she doesn't want to, and yeah, well, because we know her character, she worked hard to become the person that she is, the woman doctor of the 20th century, when not a lot of women were doing that, because it was frowned upon with the old-fashioned, quote-unquote, morals of the day. So with this, I mean, that was why I was telling Oisin on the phone, that was why in episode 12, I felt it was so important and very fun that Sam is remembering being André Dupré, and Dr. Hoffman is figuring that out in episode 12 of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. She's going, I'm starting to see why you're driving so hard at this, and maybe with a coach in four instead of a car. And Sam, with past life as André Dupré, looks at Dr. Hoffman and smiles, wouldn't you like to know, sister? That was very intentional, because somebody says sister, and it kind of means like lady, like anyone, but in Sam's case, he was looking at Natalie Dupré. He was looking at his sister from the past. And Hoffman's response, which I felt was extremely appropriate, put that together in 2013, she says, no, I think I'm ready to move on. Because she is. And so if this reincarnation stuff is coming up, whether it's Magda or Countess Dupré, she doesn't want to face that. And deservedly so. You know, she worked hard in this life to do the things that she's doing. And I easily saw Professor Stokes supporting her needs. And that helps to grow the romance in this way that I really admire and I really enjoy. Like, because you just put the components together from what you see of these characters and how they behave on the screen. And then when you roll with it and you go, oh, you know, because you're not sure. I'm not sure. And then you see it. It's like being an audience member. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to more cementing and weaving this romance with Dr. Hoffman and Professor Stokes. I'm really looking, and I hope y'all are too, but it was good. Yeah, I definitely had to talk to Oisin on the phone about that, because I was so excited to see that happening. So we're going to get definitely more Dr. Hoffman maybe than Barnabas, and more of everybody else. So when we're focusing on getting to the 1897 portion, that's where we're going to get a whole lot more Barnabas. The closer we get to that, because the journey is coming, as I've reflected in the March 2017 podcast. But I'm still connected to the guy, you know, I could still, he oof, he gets to me. He doesn't get to me the way he gets to a lot of y'all who are all obsessed and drooly and whatever, but yeah, he gets to me. I was going to say, Mr. Emotion. they did what they had to do. You know, Dan Curtis wanted the Marauder. That's why House of Dark Shadows is as disturbing as it is, because that was a reflection of who he wanted as Barnabas. But then, you know, the writers were like, well, kids are watching this. I don't know. And then Jonathan Frid himself. I believe he was asked, well, do you have any input? Well, okay. Yeah, there's just a lot of facets to Barnabas Collins for the sake that so many people created. There's no, you know, I remember this discussion somewhere on a forum where it's like people taking credit for creating Barnabas Collins. And I think I said something to the effect of, well, why don't we get out the Ouija board and see if Bram Stoker wants to make just a retroactive claim on Barnabas Collins. You know, and I'm sorry if anybody's, you know, like, oh, she said Ouija board. I was being very jovial. You know, I wasn't actually going to try and get in touch with Bram Stoker. Do you want to make a retroactive claim on Barnabas Collins' creation? Because heaven knows where he got his legends and all that kind of stuff. This go on for centuries. Now, how many people, human beings of the past, want to make a retroactive claim on Barnabas Collins' character? So, yeah, there were just so many people back in the 60s putting this character together, including the actor himself. It's impressive that way. I mean, he's almost, you know, I've got a multi-fandom based on another multi-fandom, mostly, because Dark Shadows to me is a multi-fandom. It's based on all these old gothic books. And I've added all these other characters, and I remember Taryn years ago, yeah, just toss some stuff in, there you go, it works. So I was going to say, Barnabas Collins almost a multi-fandom on his own, but more just multiple facets, because there was a lot of development. And that's why when people focus on the kidnapping and that's it, it's like, do you not recognize what you're watching? This show went on a lot longer than the damn kidnapping. It really did. But some people, they just get stuck. They just get stuck in one little portion. And it's almost like, well, do you have just like 1 year of it on repeat? Or do you have like 6 months of it on repeat and you never look at the rest? I got a reason to do some of that, though, because I'm trying to build this show. But yeah, we'll hopefully get more Barnabas as time goes on. I mean, there's a bit more coming out in 22 that I've been writing where the ghost of Sarah is still with us. And because of that, she's going to notice the changes in David. Even from afar, she's going to notice. You know, initially, I think in episode 20, she's consulting Captain Greg about how she feels being possibly neglected. And he works her through that very well. Did those performances quite a few times for Captain Greg just to try to get them accurate. So she's working that out. But when it comes to the new ghosts, she's going to notice it more in a psychic manifestation. There's a disconnect. And she's going to tell her brother about that. And because we still have her, she's got good uses, too. And that's one of them. And by that time, Maggie has gotten some news on the same bent. And so she has to go to the old house and explain, okay, we got another problem in episode 22. And then we've got to work out, you know, so the next save would be Madame Finley eventually. And I can see that just taking the original Dark Shadows and augmenting things with some of the same elements. It's like the stuff just goes as I was like watching it and figuring out how to watch it without getting bored. So eventually where are we going? Now, from other sources, Maggie will get the notion to call Professor Stokes because they're already in 21, there's focus on werewolf problem. So Hoffman and Stokes are going to have their hands full, because there's also this other stuff. But I thought, yeah, we could still have the seance that Stokes starts for other reasons in the original. But for this, it's just what's going on with the kids. You know, there's these forces. And also, there was a good thing coming up in 22 that I put together the other night, either last night or the night before, where Maggie's just trying to tell everybody, hey, this is going on. We've got another problem. And focusing on that, it made a lot of sense because Willie's asking, well, can't you just, you're the governess, can't you just tell the kids to stay out of mischief? And she's like, could you be told and go through with it when you were a child? And he's like, okay. He realizes, yeah, she got a point. You got to find out other ways, especially if there's something supernatural going on. They're not going to be honest about it. It's like, so again, bud nipping with the problem solving. And then hopefully that'll be faster. And then, of course, what I talked about with Hoffman and Stokes, certain things coming up that will solidify their relationship a lot more. And that is part of what's great about the storytelling of it and seeing where it goes is the journey and, you know, the changes on the journey. They're still the same people, but they change in little ways through personal experience. And because they can only get so much information through the seance, through Hoffman being involved in the seance and having problems because of that, that could be a great reason to hire Madame Finlay too, and et cetera, et cetera. I think the main thing is that the characters are going to have more answers. That's one thing I told one of the pen pals who's really into this. I said, what I really love is the way everyone is making this like a home. It's a crazy home, and they know it's a crazy home, but having known that and built that, it just kind of turns a little bit more like the Addams Family with people not wearing as much black clothing. A little bit. Or explosives or all those things, you know, playing with explosives like the kids do on the Addams Family. So there is that. And there's just so many things that it's like, yeah, it keeps me riveted. Even though a lot of us Dark Shadows fans have had these issues with this technology just messing up the good times. Because, yeah, don't be blaming other bad people, quote unquote. You know, the bad people, it's the technology. But the difficulty, yeah, we come back because there's something to it, the continuation. And I still love, you know, I think one of the famous quotes of Laura Parker, I can't remember where I heard this. Maybe it was Gary, I'm not sure. I just know that it's come up where people say, what do I do when it ends? She'll go back to the beginning and start again. Something to the effect of that. Oh, heavens bless her. So yeah, with all the fuss. But I mean, the education. Let's steer away from the pit and from DS for a bit. The education is what I'm really trying to pursue with whatever listenership I have. Because you remember back in 2013, 2014, I was saying, oh, with episode 4, Captain Greg gets bent, the intro for that, I was like, it's not going to be as much teaching, it's going to be great. But the teaching, it is part of our needs, what we need to happen. We keep on going back to pretending that people behave the same way that they did in the 20th century. Old reliable behavior patterns. They are not reliable anymore. The fast-changing technology is in the way, and it's been changing faster than you can adapt to it. That's why you can't say, oh, it's just bad people. If they are under the influence of this distracting and tricky technology, how can you blame the people? That is why other influences are regulated. So saying that, oh, it's just bad people. Well, that's been a problem for almost a decade now since that damn like button got in the way. Yeah, it's the technology. It's the companies. It feels like no one seems to recognize that, yes, you are technically talking to another human using that stuff, the commercial social media. But it's through a filter talking to another human being. And the filter is made up of garbled techniques to stress people out, fragment their better judgment, lose their inhibitions, sounds like alcohol, and is more or less a layer of tripe wrangling out their insecurities. So many people just blame other people when that's not the case. It's the network itself doing that. In most instances, a face-to-face discussion or a telephone conversation is completely different. Like I told you in October, I am not a commercial system. And one of my younger pen friends said, I really like that you don't have commercial. Well, thank you for noticing. Because that wasn't the point. And the critiquing, a lot of the main point of the importance of critiquing was to keep the commercial entertainment industries from getting us with cheap thrills. But now it's all about getting your attention with cheap thrills. You know, your baser primate things will just hook you in by animal instincts. Well, that's not helpful. And even though it sounds very silly, I highly recommend at least half of the book of Gerrymander's The Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. And not because I believe it should be eliminated, but it gives you an education about the medium. It's incredible. And I say half the book is fine. You just get through the first half because, like a lot of nonfiction books, the author just starts repeating themselves in weird ways. And it's like, I just need to make this not a pamphlet. Oh, make it a pamphlet. Who cares? We just need the info. But even if it was half the book, it would be about the right size. But at least, you know, just get started with that. There's a lot of good stuff in The Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. It was great because I gave my cousin that. He carried around high school and people saw the title and they got all, you know, the students, they got all like, you can't take my television away. He saw, this book was written in the 70s. Okay. I think that's what he told them. Compared to the age he was, it was a book that was older than him. So, yeah, getting an education about that is really important. I mean, you might, because a lot of you guys, you know, you guys and girls and et cetera, you want to believe things have not changed, that this is the 20th century. And using 21st century technology with 20th century social rules does not work. It does not work, especially the commercial networks. There's commercial TV, there's also commercial social networks. That's why getting mad at me, it's, to me, that's outrageous. There's no reason for you to be outraged at me. You turn me off if you don't want to listen to me. But the other companies, they can get you beyond what you deem as free will. I mean, I was saying, people are so addicted, they don't know how addicted they are. They're that addicted. And HumaneTech.com is trying to take care of that. The podcasts, Your Undivided Attention, definitely try to speak to the person who may not be computer savvy and with high-tech understanding. So I've been telling people, you know, I kind of felt like the whistleblower Spider-Man version. I'm happy to let the Justice League take over is the Center for Humane Technology. Because I was the, you know, spinning webs and cracking jokes. But yeah, Justice League can take over. I'm happy with that. But I will keep on informing you about it. Yeah, because I was on the phone with Oisin, and I was like, you know, for years, everybody, one of the human behavioral patterns, a lot of you were trying to tell me, focus on the positive, focus on the positive, focus on the positive, while we're using these addictive social networks. And I told her, focus on the positive. What positive? A bunch of emoji and memes and like buttons? That's not positive. That's stupid. And it is. Also noticing that, I mean, because you can't even enjoy Dark Shadows anymore. You can't even enjoy it. We enjoyed it like crazy. We still do. Getting away from the bad stuff, we still enjoy it. Like, you know, the episode 19 I put on the weblog, the one. That was me and my husband. You know, I was fresh. We were watching it and just started joking around. Episode 19. It was so fun. And we still do that. It's great. That's where quite a few fun lines have come into the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, just us heckling the show. Just like, what about this one? And then it starts to grow in certain directions. Or episode 7 in 2013, I was getting ready to create episode 7 in audio for you guys. So I had said, you know, I love that when Roger, he is not afraid of Nicholas Blair. He's not nervous whatsoever. And part of that really was inspired by Sarah Monster, Nicholas Blair's enters, where he's just like, you know, I'm Nicholas Blair. And she puts the bubble over Barnabas and Roger's heads. Who? So? Yeah, so? So what? You're Nicholas Blair. Big deal. And so in episode 7 of The Pit, I was telling my sweetheart, I was saying, you know, Roger walks in, and that was why I was laughing at the blooper reel, because it's just the idea is so funny. He just unfazed, almost bored, that he, oh, fine attire, gloves even. And we were in the kitchen, and as I was repeating that to my sweetheart, he was all, aren't you just the dandy? And I'm all, what? He's all, aren't you just the dandy? I'm all, can I add that? And he's all, sure. So, yeah, we are focusing on the positive. It's in the details. And, oh, yeah, criticizing to get cheap thrills when it was supposed to be a defense against cheap thrills. But now it's like criticizing for cheap thrills because everybody's so disconnected. Because, yeah, people do. They get offended to the point of bursting, and then they deflate into a vegetable. And that's really, it's frustrating. And there's a lot of people like, they see my rants. They don't see nasty. They don't see anything to be offended by. Some of the people are sentimental and they're worried about me. But unfortunately, because what's happened, those the like button, etc., has messed them up so much, they can't articulate it. And they can't even find a way to send me an email. Because they're used to either chat speak or they've just regressed so much. But yeah, when you get uptight about a rant and you're offended by a rant, there are people out there, they don't even see the details of that rant at all. They just see that I am upset. That's all they see. It was one of the last times I talked to who I called Madame Dalek, who's in love with the novel. I mean, I don't know how she is. You know, she was having health problems, but I'm sure some of that was being caused by the technology. And I got angry at her one night, and I apologized for it. And she said, you know, I didn't notice. And that's how I understood through other things, too, when I discuss stuff with other people. They want to help, but they don't know how anymore. They're just that helpless. And they're kind-hearted, and it's really sad to see that. I don't, you know, the people who are angry for no reason. Yeah, I'll lash out, but for the most part, the reason I don't care is because there's nothing to see. They're herd followers. They're responding to being outraged to get rewards. It's like Pavlov's dog, you know? the food comes when you ring the bell, and then you just ring the bell and you'll still salivate because it's just been programmed that way. You know, I mean, it's just sad to see complex human beings degraded into livestock. If you're outraged at me for pointing that out, I'm sorry. It's, you know, I want to say it's your choice, but in some cases, it is not your choice. You've had your free choice taken away. And if you educate yourself, you'll find out. But yeah. What positive? These things that you're saying are positive? That's just dumb. That's why I didn't care about it. I mean, I worried. I was very encouraged by the crazy numbers in 2014 and 2015. But then when no talk was coming, I'm like, there's something even more wrong than what I was concerned about in 2013. And about the same time, the people at HumaneTech.com were coming together slowly. They were all noticing a lot of stuff the same year I was. So I bless their hearts. And I have sent them a thank you card. And I am also subscribed to their newsletters by email. Yeah, this most recent one, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Just stay in the know. I can't do so much. They are trying to find people who are very tech savvy to help them with problems, but I can go far and no farther because I'm doing this. So, yeah. And, you know, when you kind of try to chit-chat it out with somebody saying, well, I don't have to get in touch with her because of blah, 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 and, or I don't have to do this or do that because of blah, 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 you know. When you make excuses, you see yourself trying to make amends or defending yourself somehow. And what does Daryl War see? I see an automaton, useless guilt, and a lack of education. If you want to be less savvy to tech, you better stop using it. Because if you don't educate yourself, it'll just control you. And then you're helpless. What really kills me is they made you pay for it. They made you pay for these expensive toys that run your life now and ruin your social life. So, don't keep telling yourself you are not using computers. You are using computers. And the designs can trick you. Just like commercial television. Now, one of the things I wanted to end on an upbeat note that some of you will hate, and I say that with a big smile. We do enjoy the 2012 Dark Shadows movie by Tim Burton and company. It took a lot of people. You know, I remember an interview with Michelle Pfeiffer. She just loved Dark Shadows so much. She saw, I never do this, but I actually reached out. I mean, she could have had the role of Mrs. Johnson or just some townsperson. I would have been happy, Michelle Pfeiffer. But we got what I believe we all wanted, which was her as Elizabeth, which was, oh, man, that was so good. She was so good. So, yeah, if you want me to talk about the film more, I'm more than happy to just let it go. You know, don't shy away from it. If you want me to talk more about that, I got this big book here that I was loving and shared pictures of it. I mean, that was kind of nice, but it's just better to talk about the content of the book. I mean, I remember being in a bookstore when this, with the Dark Shadows, the visual companion, Mark Salisbury. I very rarely would look at a book for that long in a bookstore, but I looked at this one for a long time. My feet were hurting when I was done because it's like, I can't afford this because I couldn't at the time. And so then I got something for Christmas that did have a gift receipt. And I'm like, I'm going to get that book. So I returned whatever it was. And I'd love to talk about any of the books that are helping me out if anybody wants to know. Like I was talking about the scrapbook memories. Yeah, but this one too. Yeah, just getting their take on it. And there was something in here where Michelle Pfeiffer had said that, I'm thinking it's this. It might have been a visual, you know, a video interview, but I think it was this book where she said that, you know, when she watched Dark Shadows as a kid, she said she felt like she was doing something she shouldn't be doing. And oh man, yeah, it's true. It is so true. Yeah, if you were a little kid watching that, yeah, you probably shouldn't have been. And I remember John Mountain from the Written in Blood weblog, that is no more, unfortunately. He was talking about, yeah, not being allowed. He had to sneak it every once in a while. He was like, you know, his parents didn't want him looking at it, watching the show, Dark Shadows, the old one. So I could see where Michelle Pfeiffer was coming from, you know, as a young Dark Shadows fan back in the day. Yeah, she said, I did something I never do. I basically groveled for a part in the movie. And what was great about that is she'd already been Catwoman for Tim Burton's other creation for, like, Batman Returns. I remember Clover and I were so young when that came out, and the theater for Batman Returns was so packed, we had to take a seat on the edge, and our necks were kind of sore when it was over. It's like, we never go on the outskirts. I mean, that was a packed theater. All where we could find a seat. So anyway, yeah, I would love to talk more about that. I'd love to talk more about the film. Or even, oh, 2004. Oh, so good. Whoever put that up, you know, thank you, because that was, I couldn't believe it. Me and another Barnabas Maggie fan, we were so happy about that. Well, I guess I should say Barnabas Chozette fan, really. But, I mean, it's all over the place. I'm like, yeah, there it is. And, oh, the guy who played Roger. Wow. I was so impressed. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff about this show and the other versions of this show that I would love to talk about. I'd love this to be a much happier podcast program. But I just have to find out what you liked, whether it's the Blotty Blahs or the radio drama. The radio drama is more important to me, of course. But yeah, just getting used to telling me that you're listening at all is the first step. And like I said in October, yeah, I think you want to come out of the closet. Another thing I told O'Sheen, I said, you know, I was a little worried about even saying closet fans, because I figured with everybody getting offended at everything, I said, you know, somebody might be offended because people get offended at everything now, and she laughed, that somebody might misconstrue it as, well, you're taking the word that's for, you know, people who are homosexual or transgender or whatever, you know, coming out of the closet's a very serious thing. Well, actually, you know where I first heard the term? When I was studying witchcraft. And they talked about people coming out of their broom closets. That's when I first heard that term. That's my first memory of it. Coming out of the closet was coming out of the broom closet. So I was like, yeah, it's going to be fine. And she was also, yeah, she's all, that was clever. Well, whoever made it up, I don't know if it was Scott Cunningham or if Scott Cunningham had heard it or if it was, I don't think it was Jerina Dunwich. I don't even think it was the Ferraris, in all honesty. I can't remember where I heard it. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, because I can name a lot of these names from their books. But a lot of them I didn't quite finish, because you just kind of want to dabble, like, where's the spell? When you're little. Or not little, but I mean, sort of little, but, you know, in your teens. When these books started coming out. They were not all Llewellyn, don't worry. Or maybe you should worry if they weren't all Llewellyn. But yeah, coming out of the broom closet. So, yeah, and O'Sheen said, yeah, it sounded very clever. Well, yeah, I thought so, too. Even though, like, riding brooms isn't quite what witches do these days. But that kind of thing. And that was why I felt there was something to the possibilities with Angelique. Jason McGuire, he enjoys being just a nasty bad guy. But Angelique, there's something going on. You know, and Lisa has told me, I don't know how you're going to redeem that woman. It's like, well, you know, when you want love and you don't know how it works, you're going to just turn into something vile like that. And that was why it was very reassuring that at some point, O'Sheen was very happy about the change in her too later in the series, where she's moved past Barnabas and she's taken control and matured, was what O'Sheen said. And I said, yeah, but we don't have to throw away the witchcraft. We can have the bewitched ladies come in and say, that's not how you do that, girlfriend. Because they, again, you're seeing somebody who has been neglected in some manner. That's why I said in another show, it seems to reflect what a lot of us have been going through. And that's why I need the discussion. I need at least the admittance of, yes, I listened. And it doesn't have to be heavy. You know, I cannot stand guilt if it's not useful. And then deflecting the guilt, I think that's why a lot of people have hated Barnabas Collins this century, because they're being taught me, 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 me. And all that matters is me. And I don't, feeling guilty, ooh! And then he reminds you, there's something that you shouldn't have done. Because he'll just, Mr. Emotion, be all like, oh, I did the wrong thing. I feel so terrible. I'm like, hey, calm down. So yeah, I could see where people would hate his character because it's a reminder of feeling that you did something wrong and that kind of thing. But there are people who love him. And Seamus actually said that too. A lot of his relatives and certain friends watching Dark Shadows, he's all, they love Barnabas. You know, they talk about, well, that's so good to hear. That's so nice to hear, because I've just been seeing Barnabas hate and Barnabas blame and, I guess kind of like Grandpa and Patrick McGoohan, I have more in common with this guy than I ever thought. All right. So, again, come out of the closet. If you can come out of the closet about being a Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows fan, you are more than welcome to come out of whatever closet you think you might be in. I don't think there's, because a lot of fans, they just kind of do their own thing with the movie. But yeah, if you want to talk about the movie, I'd love to talk about the movie. Because we did. We were terrible. We were like, well, if we don't talk about it, maybe the problem will go away. But unfortunately, getting rewards for hate speak, yeah, that's why those threads on that darn network, you know, people are trying to talk about Jonathan Fritz. Somebody brings up the movie and it's all over because that's all anybody knows what to do. I remember I got really angry at somebody because I was putting up a picture that was totally different. And the first thing out of the person's, you know, fingers is dissing on the 2012 movie. I got really angry because I was tired of seeing that. And my post had nothing to do with that film. But it is repeated so often that that's all anyone is making the association. All they know how to say is something terrible, because that's all they heard.
That's not right.
And those commercial systems, yeah, that's how they get you. And that's how they make the profit, getting the attention. So, you have some lovely winter holidays. Spend time with people you care about. That's part of the deal, is staying warm in the cold. And here is a little something that I'd like to add at the very end for a person who I believe is also a closet listener in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Also someone we all deeply admire. Sarah Monster, an old heroine of ours from a decade ago and across many romantic preferences in Dark Shadows, who also gave us DS annotations and the defunct Willie Loomis Saves Collinsport website. She is also a big fan, like myself, my husband, and many other friends, of Mystery Science Theater 3000. So I'd like to wish her a very merry winter solstice with this little clip from the Flesh Tones that I believe will make sense to both her and many other fans of her, such as myself. We're all blowing you a kiss, Sarah Monster, for letting us laugh at love again and again. Take care. Hang up that mistletoe. Soon you'll hear ho ho ho. On Christmas Day, you wake up and say, hooray for Santa Claus! Hooray for Santa!
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.